hopefully will address the problems with Department of Vehicle Services technology. Over the years, there's been it's obvious that they're in need of upgrading their technology and their computer systems. The problem is, how do we pay for it? And I believe that this bill addresses paying for it by putting on a $1.75 per transaction technology access fee. So this money would be per Oh, Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment that I would like to move.
Mm-hmm. Senator Olsen has the AE1 amendment. And Senator Olsen, while this is being passed out, you want to explain what this amendment does?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment, in determining what would be an appropriate access or fee, I had looked at some different numbers, and I was kind of looking at a dollar. And so this raises where you'll see in the bill that some of the fees are added on equal a dollar. This will raise them to $1.75, which the amount of transactions that we could charge this on is something like $8 million a year or something like that. So it'll raise, according to the fiscal note, about $12.5 million a year, which will go towards this technology computer system. And so this, the bill or the amendment just changes those from a dollar fee to $1.75, and then there's some additional language that at page 311 that inserts that let's see, it's written on 1.6 to 1.9 on the A1 amendment. So that's the amendment I'd like to add.
Further discussion on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, motion does prevail.
Interesting.
Senator Olsen, how if Ms. McCormick's testimony serves me right, there's going to be they're going to have to run concurrent systems while they're bringing this online. So the reason why it's going to take so long is not only to develop the correct software, but also because of that complication of having to maintain the records that we have versus starting a new system. And I don't see Ms. McCormick here.
She's here, hiding behind the post.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chair, members, that's my recollection, but I will let her speak to it.
Ms. McCormick, and just for the record, everyone needs to understand that this is not an agency initiative. The portion of this that's an agency initiative is we all know that we need a computer system. So, Ms. McCormick.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name's Pat McCormick, and I'm the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services. And, Mr. Chair, you are correct in the fact that we, in looking and scoping out this project, we anticipate a four-year timeline to be able to implement a new system. I think when I met earlier with the committee, we talked about the fact that we would be chunking it down, so we'd have our current system being operated as we were revising various parts and programs within our information system and the administration of that. And so we would need to allow for the operation of both systems during this four-year time period. And that this plan and the cost of $12 million per year is what we've scoped out as what would be necessary for us to accomplish that.
It was $12 million per year for how long, Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair, for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. All right. Senator Olsen, then what I would like to do is direct staff to put an amendment on the back page with the effective date, so there's a drop dead, a sunset date on this provision, and we'll just instruct staff to come up with that, and we'll put it on here in a few minutes.
Mr. Chair, I'd be comfortable with that But I'm also cognizant to the fact that there may be ongoing technology fees after that, that maybe this could be reduced to 50 cents. I've been in contact with the registrars. There's 180-some deputy registrars throughout the state, and whether or not their systems should be brought on as the same type or so that they're all the same computers. So I'm fine with a sunset date, but, you know, depending where the state's budget is in 4 years, you know, that might be an issue at that time or continuing maintenance. So, but, no, I'm fine with a sunset date.
Okay. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, the state can take away and then it can give, and so there's nothing that stops a future legislature from changing that ending date.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, thank you.
Right. Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that the computer system is sort of a major infrastructural need of the departments, is that right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is really not a budget year. We're kind of in a policy year where we're kind of being forced as a result of the deficit to try to put together a supplemental bill to cut here and there. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just have a concern. I know what Senator Olson is trying to do here, but I just have a concern that might not something like this be more appropriate in a budget year. And that, I mean, given that it's the department that really needs this infrastructural technology to do what it does as part mm-hmm. of its core function, might we not want to leave this for general appropriations or...
Senator Moy, I understand. I understand, and you know, we would have done this last year had we had the time to get it done last year. I think we would have done this last year, and a little more information. I think that we've got the information that we need this year. And the other thing is, this is a public safety concern. You know, not only does DVS, plate and license all of our vehicles, but they also license all of our drivers. And it's their information that, State Patrol uses and a lot of other law enforcement agents. And we need to make sure that they've got the best information at their fingertips. And that's why I believe that, you know, you're right, it's not a budget year, but I do believe that we need to move forward with this and get this system up and running as soon as possible. Senator?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't intend to be argumentative. I'm just, I just feel like for, it seems like more and more for most of our infrastructural core function, critical things, that instead of intentionally appropriating money to invest in those core functions, we're now put in a position where we have to basically nickel and dime the public to pay for those core functions. And I'm concerned as somebody who feels it's very important for us to invest in our infrastructures and our core functions to do that upright and upfront. And, I'm the one who brought the bill to this committee to roll back the fees and surcharges because I felt like that was, fundamentally wrong for us to do that. And I feel like, with all due respect to Senator Olson, I think his heart is in the right place, and he's really trying to do something here for the department, and I'm not hostile to the department. I just think that on a principle of, going back to doing fees and surcharges to try to support a core area of function for our state is, I don't know if that's where we need to be or want to be, because it seems that that's increasingly become the habit of this legislature to try to deal with our needs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Senator Jungbauer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd actually argue the opposite of Senator Moy. DVS provides a service, and if we were a company providing that service, it kind of, when we look at license plates, for example, as soon as the cost of creating that plate is gone, we take that fee off of there. So we kind of charge people for what the actual cost is, and it actually, part of that cost is the computer system. And we ought to be, if we were a company, we'd be figuring the computer system and the replacement into the fees that we charge and the fee structure. And I think as government, sometimes we do get away from that, and we somehow think the magical general fund, and Senator Moore makes a good example on the other end, where if it's we're collecting extra fees that go into a general fund, we could make that argument. But if it's a core operation and we're actually it's part of the cost of doing that business, I think it's a great way to – we should be charging – and the computer system is part of performing that function for the general public. So that should be part of the fee structure, and it's not a tax as such. It's an actual cost of it.
Yeah. You know, we might have made a mistake a couple of years ago when we did change DVS to a fee-based system and didn't include this. That was probably our lack of vision. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, I share the concerns echoed by Senator Moore, partly because I've gotten the hundreds and hundreds of emails from my constituents who are concerned about the additional costs associated with the transportation bill. And so I have been proud to have supported the transportation bill, but I'm aware of those concerns. And so I share a concern about then doing one additional fee increase on top of the very negative press that that some of us are getting for making that decision. And so that's one thing. But then a question. I know that we have heard that some of our matching funds from the federal government are actually there was a penalty that we were getting because we weren't able to do certain things because of our computer systems didn't allow us to. And so I am concerned about if we don't upgrade our computer systems, whether or not that the cost is going to be that much greater to the state.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonhoff, you're correct that without that we are managing to use our mainframe system to be able to come into compliance with the federal mandate regarding this Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act, which we must meet by September 30th or could face a $21 million penalty in highway funds. But I think that the stability of our system is our other major priority at this time. And so without upgrading that system, I think we've discussed in the committee the problem in terms of sustaining the current system without a redesign so that we can easily communicate with other information systems. And that's one of the major reasons why the department was appreciative of the money that was provided by the committees last year to do this pre-design and scope out what we really needed in order to have a system that provides us with security and accuracy and also in managing the data versus just storing and retrieving the data as we're only able to do with our current system.
Senator Bonner.
So, Mr. Chair, Ms. McCormick, if we were not to do this, then would we be at risk with federal money?
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonner, I think we will meet. We are confident that we will meet the deadline that we need to meet this year on September 30th for what's called structured testing, which means we need to communicate electronically with other state jurisdictions in terms of commercial driver license compliance and convictions information. But there are several other parts of that act that we also need to continue to meet and meet those deadlines. And in general, many of the federal mandates that we have in terms of federal motor carrier do involve a loss of highway funds if we don't meet those deadlines.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep. Senator Jungbauer.
Well, Mr. Chair and committee members, as we hear the term mainframe, I'm just wondering if anybody else in the room out in the real world operates on a mainframe anymore. And when I work with the Office of the Revisor of Statutes and we got them off their mainframe system, just seeing that, I thought this belongs in the Smithsonian, not in the real world in operation anymore. So it's just if we hear that, there ought to be something, some bells going off in our heads saying, what's kept us around that kind of a system this long? It's incredible, mm-hmm. and incredible for the departments to make them still work and function with all the intricacies and interoperabilities that we face today. So I think you've done well, and we've shown in that kind of a case, mm-hmm. we've done a good investment. We've made mainframe computers still last at the state level.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olsen.
The Deputy Registrar's Association has expressed support of this bill, but also the car dealers. I have Alyssa Schielander, if she could come forward and speak on the car dealers' position.
Ms. Schielander.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Alyssa Schielander. I'm representing the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association. I'll just be very brief just to say that the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association, our 400 and maybe 30 or 40 members, are major users of DVS's titling system. DVS handles millions and millions of transactions each year, and we're a pretty good chunk of that business. So we just want to say that we support the addition of this fee as long as 100% of this fee gets spent on technology upgrades. We know that they desperately need it, and they do a great job with the severely outdated system that they're currently working with. But in order to continue to protect our customers and to provide them with the service that they are demanding, we would really like to see you do this for DVS. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. McCormick, the only two things that I would ask is that as you're building your system, that you keep in mind that the insurance fiasco that we've went through the past few years of trying to verify insurance and making sure that, you know, that we do have the capability to interact with insurance companies to, you know, make sure that people are insured. And the other thing is not only to work with, you know, the car dealers and Ms. Schielander's group, but also our deputy registrars, because there's a lot of those folks out there that are they're using technology that is similar to yours currently, and they're going to need to know what kind of system upgrades they're going to need to be able to make to talk with your computers. So I'm sure you've heard those are on your radar, but I just wanted to make sure. Further discussion. Ms. Berezovsky.
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment to add a sunset would be on 4.1 before the period insert and expires June 30, 2012.
All in favor of the Carlson motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Olsen has moved that Senate File 3787 be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Further discussion. Is there anybody in the audience that would want to testify in opposition to the bill? No further discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you, Senator Olsen. Thank you, Ms. McCormick.
Chair members, thank you.
Next up, we have Senator Tomassoni.
I got to stay.
And Senator Tomassoni, we're going to hear testimony on Senate File 500.
Mr. Chair and committee members, for accommodating me in having this hearing today with this bill. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 500 is, I've always thought it was had some potential to have maybe an interesting approach to transportation funding. And we've been going through a couple years of trying to put a good transportation package together and getting it onto the roads. And obviously the concern at all times was whether or not we had to raise fees and whether or not we had to raise the gas tax and how we went about funding the roads so we'd have a sufficient amount of highway funding. The simple idea behind this bill is that, and we all do it every day, is that money moves through the systems by accounts getting debited, and money really never changes hands. And just to give you an example, if you go to the grocery store and you buy some groceries and you write a $100 check, You don't really give the grocery store any money. You give them an instrument that represents money. The grocery store puts the money on its account in a computer, and then they send the check to the bank, and then the bank takes it off your account in the computer, and that account that you have actually was created by probably an electronic deposit from some kind of paycheck that you're supposedly getting from somebody, and all these numbers kind of move around in banks on accounts, and really the money doesn't ever really get exchanged. And so while these accounts are all supposedly backed by currency or something that represents currency, we oftentimes don't see it moving around. So in this particular case, the idea is similar to what I talked about, and the asset that would be backing the flow of the cash here would be the actual highways that get built. And that's about my limited understanding of it, but I know that Mr. Byron Dale can explain it better and tell you what he's thinking and why this is would be a good way to be able to fund our transportation system and actually relieve a lot of the debt load. So if it's with Chair doesn't mind, I'll turn this over to Mr. Dale.
Mr. Chair and fellow members, for the record, my name is Byron Dale, and I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to come here before you today and explain this concept to you. I know it's a little unique and innovative, but it's really what the state really needs. And I want to start off with, and I think that's up there now, we can all see it, because we've worked a long time to try to come up with a better way. And this whole idea originated in the Senate Transportation hearing. Several years ago, a friend of mine called me and said, you got to turn them on, and they're on the Senate Transportation is televised. And during that hearing, at least half of the members said, we've got to come up with a new and innovative way to fund roads. We just can't, in our transportation, we just don't have the resources to do it without it. And that's what got this whole concept started. And Senate 500 will solve a couple of major problems. It'll provide new funding for transportation. It'll also stop our ever-growing debt. And we're going to take just a few minutes to deal with the debt first. And this is, you can go on the Internet and get this anyplace. I checked this out with the Federal Reserve Board, and everything seemed to be accurate. And you can see over here on the right-hand side in the blue up there, you can see in 1957 the debt was only $693 billion. Now, in 2008, it's up to $53 trillion is what we owe. And there's a red line going up, and I'm sure you can all see it. That shows how the debt has went up over the years. The blue line shows how our national income is going up, and it's just hardly going up, but the debt's going up exponentially every year. Now, the next question we need to think about is how in the world do we ever get $53 trillion in a debt in a nation where all we do is produce wealth? Several years ago, I asked the president of the Minnesota Bank Association if he could name anything that was not created as an asset. He said, everything's created an asset. So if we're all working all our lives, working hard to get money and pay our bills and raise our families, how in the world do we get $53 trillion in debt in a nation that has as many resources as that nation has, and yet we all use that as wealth, yet we get deeper in debt? In search of these answers, I made a lot of phone calls, a lot of letters and everything, and one of the things I did was I wrote to the United States Treasury. And the answer I received from Russell Monk, the general counsel of the United States Treasury, was, well, the actual creation of money always involves the extension of credit from a private commercial bank. Because I asked him, where does money come from? How does it get in circulation? And again, you can see he said clearly, it gets into circulation when we go and have more and more interest-bearing loans. Mr. Monk went on to say, you may want to know whether the bank is the one getting the benefit of the new money. Since the bank owns the new money, while the customers, you and I, have merely borrowed the money, the bank indeed does get the benefit of all the new money that's created. So here's how the banks actually create money. The banks create money as a book entry ledger on their books. Now, believe it or not, that is the true money. The actual bills we use is only a few of them out there, and that's if you want to hold something physically in your hand. But the actual money is the money that's created on the ledgers of the book, bank's books. And when someone needs to purchase something and they don't have any money, we all go to the bank. And I used to be in the ranching business years ago, and I assure you I've done lots of that. And when you go there, you go to the bank, you make an agreement, you sign a promissory note. The bank puts that promissory note on their books as an asset to them, and then it puts the amount of money they created and put it in your checking account as an asset to you. John B. Hendrickson, Senior Specialist in Price Economics at the Congressional Research Service, the Library of Congress, stated, "Money is created when loans are issued and debts incurred. Money is extinguished when a loan is repaid. So if I borrow $1,000 and I spend it, and then I go in the system and capture it back and pay off my loan, that money goes out of circulation and does not exist for anybody else to use until somebody else gets another loan." Also, Robert H. Hemphill, credit manager of the Federal Reserve Bank in Atlanta, stated, "If all the bank loans were paid, no one would have a bank deposit, and there would not be a dollar of coin or currency or checkbook money of any kind in circulation. Under the present system, we are forced into interest-bearing debt before we can have a medium exchange. Before we can go and buy, sell anything, we have to go get an interest-bearing loan." My next question was, if all money is created as an interest-bearing loan, how is the money created to pay the interest on the money I borrowed? Because when I borrowed lots of money, and I have borrowed lots of money in my lifetime, every time I borrowed the money, say I borrowed $100,000, I got the $100,000, I could spend it, but when I had to pay it back, I had to pay back that plus the interest. Interest makes your debt grow, but not your money supply. So the answer Mr. Monk gave me was, the money to pay interest on a loan came from the same source the other money comes from. Got to go back and borrow some more money. It is also created when you borrow from a commercial bank. We must borrow to get money, then we must borrow more to pay the interest. And, of course, you've seen what that's done to us. It's $53 trillion in debt. We'll get into more of this later. And that's clearly an unsustainable and an impossible thing to work with over a long period of time. Okay, now this chart here came from a speech that David Walker, Comptroller General, gave in Minnesota, and it's been updated a little bit. But the total value of the United States today, total assets of the United States, is around $38 trillion. Our total indebtedness, that's the federal government, the state governments, the personal business debt, is $53 trillion. And according to David Walker, the unfunded obligations of the federal government alone is over $51 trillion. And last Friday, I contacted the Federal Reserve Bank of New York by internet, and they told me the money supply was $6.8 trillion. Now, how can you handle that much debt with that little money? And the only way you can get more money at this present time is go borrow some more. We cannot borrow our way out of debt. We cannot borrow our way to prosperity. You also can't tax your way to prosperity. That's another impossible thing to do. Now, this chart shows you the black is what the income was of the Americans, the average family of four, in 1990, and how it went up each year to 2016. The red is what the interest debt, just the interest alone, not the debt, just the interest alone was in 1990, and how it went up until in 2016, the interest alone on the debts will be $1 billion greater than the total combined income of everyone in America. Now, we've seen in the last two or three weeks what happens when just 2% of the people can't pay their interest. What would happen if 40 or 50% of the people couldn't pay their interest? So we've decided that there has to be a better way. And that's what I started working on the day I heard this Senate committee say that they needed a better way. I started looking and trying to work on and trying to develop a better way to fund transportation. And it's before you today in Senate File 500. We call it the Minnesota Transportation Act, just for some. It's a unique and innovative way to address the short funding shortfalls, and it will also provide us a more safe and sound funding for the Minnesota roads and bridges without a tax increase. This bill will also ensure a more safe and sound Minnesota state banking system. This bill will do this by enhancing a current banking practice that they don't hardly ever use, and that is creating money as an investment. Because the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis said in a publication, banks can expand the money supply by making loans and investments. So I contacted by phone the FDIC in Washington. I talked to Rodney Heck, and I basically asked him, is it true that banks can create money as an investment? He says, that's absolutely true. I said, well, what would regulate that? And he said, that's a tougher question. It all depends whether it was a state bank or a federal bank and maybe how big it was and different things. And I said, well, let's just stay on state banks. What would control what a state bank can do? And he said, the state legislature, the state law would. And I said, well, if they passed a law that the banks were to do something, would that be binding on FDIC audits? And he said, absolutely. And that's the email that I got in confirmation of that telephone conversation. And this is what the Minnesota Transportation Act will do. It will mandate that the state and chartered banks enter into agreement, work together, whereby the banks will invest in the needed public road and bridge project approved by this legislature. The banks will buy the natural equity to the project, and the state will maintain all the user's rights. Here's how it works. A state chartered bank will pay for the equity, natural equity, by monetizing the bid value of the project. This is how it works right now. Now, I back up a minute, because before, we showed you how it works when you get a loan. The bank has a brand new asset. Somebody's promised to pay. Now, with this here, the bank will have a brand new asset, and that is the value of the project that you're building. That will go on the books of the bank as an asset. The money will be created and put on the banks of the account holder in somebody's checking account for that much money. And brand new money will be created just like that, just exactly the same way as it is when a loan is done. Only now you will have money without debt. When we need to build a new road, we'll take the bid value, just to figure probably $488 million to go buy a bridge or a stretch of highway. You'll put that on, that'll be the amount of the value. You put that on and give that in an agreement to the banks. They will then put that on that value on their books as an asset, and they will create that much money and put it in the checking account of the state. Just like they did before, now, and it goes into the checking account. I got ahead of myself a little, but that's okay. The new money will stay in circulation. Now, this is a very important fact, because with the older way, where they only do it with loans, that money constantly goes out of circulation when somebody pays off a loan. That dries up the money supply until somebody else borrows it. This money created this way will stay in the circulation and in the system until this nation fails. And we hope that's a long time away. And therefore, you won't have to have this constant borrowing and a constant growing interest debt to keep money in circulation. The money will then be electronically debited out of the state's transportation account and credited to the contractor's account, just like it is now when you pay a contractor. Nothing will change either way. And then the state chartered bank will receive it, and then they will simply transfer that money to the contractor. The contractor will then do just exactly what he does now. He'll pay for his labor. He'll pay for his equipment needs. He'll pay for his raw materials and everything else he needs to complete that project. That money will then flow into the Minnesota economy. Money will go from all those people who receive the money, the workers and everybody else, go spend the money for their food, for their housing, for their transportation, and to pay their bank loans and the interest on the bank. That money will go to all those sources that flows in when we rebuild and upgrade our transportation system. It's a safe and sound funding for Minnesota roads and bridges. It's a safe and sound bill for the state banking system. and it'll give us an upgraded, better road system with no taxes and no more debt to maintain and build our transportation system. As I understand it from the Minnesota Constitution, government is instituted for the security, the benefit, and protection of the people. Some of us really don't believe the state has provided that security to the people. We have to have a really good, hard example of that when the bridge fell down the other day. We also don't believe the state is really providing the people of Minnesota with the benefits we should have if we have to have ever-increasing in taxes all the time to fund all these things that we have to have. And nobody's denying we have to have them. We also don't believe the state is providing monetary protection to the people of Minnesota if they are continuing to be forced into deeper and deeper debt in order to have a medium exchange. Minnesotans, just the state government, the city, county, townships, are at this point in time over $29 billion in debt in a, probably in a state that has the most natural resources of any state in the nation. And due to the tax increase you've just recently passed, this bill has absolutely no risk. You can pass it. You can implement it on a trial error. You can make sure everything flows. Everybody gets on the same page with no risk to anybody of any kind. This bill has absolutely no downsides and nothing but an upside for everybody and every citizen of this state. You have absolutely nothing to lose by moving this bill forward, but you have almost everything there is to gain. We believe by passing the unique and innovative bill, it will enable you to fulfill your Constitution duty in the best way you've ever done for the security and protection and the benefit of the people of Minnesota. Again, we thank you so much for your time, and I'll stand for any questions if you'd like to have it. Thank you again.
Are there any questions for Mr. Dale? Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question on, okay, so the bank gets the asset, which is the road. They maintain that asset?
No. They will get the natural equity rights, and it took me a long time to understand how to really talk about that. And what that really is, if you look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, it really means the fairness. It really means they will provide the fairness that they should have. Because this legislature and past have given a banking system who competes everybody against them in private business with a special privilege that none of the rest of us have. They get to create their own money. The banks get everything as a gift. And it's about time they share those benefits with we, the people of Minnesota, without putting us deeper in debt. And that's all this bill does. And the state will maintain all the user rights. They'll take care of it if they need to have to upgrade it. And that's basically what you do now. You build your roads. The state owns them. They lay out there, and the people use them. Nothing will change. Go ahead.
Senator Gimsey.
I guess I'm still troubled and don't understand the is there a repayment?
No.
Mr. Dale.
I'm sorry. Senator?
Senator Gimsey.
Repeat.
I don't understand that there is no repayment of this loan. There is no interest on this loan. Can you explain further where does this asset go? Where does the bank come out in this transaction? Or do they make anything in it? Do they make any interest? In the previous example, you showed that we had to borrow more money in order to pay the interest. When we take out a loan in making this whole thing work. But in this case, you're saying that that's not necessarily so, that we don't need to borrow more money to pay the interest. Where is the asset? Where is the accounting, the final end accounting in this whole program?
Mr. Chair and Senator, the first thing is we have to understand this is not a loan. May I share at this time a personal conversation that I had with Tim Pawlenty, the now governor, when he was in the House? He had the exact same questions you did. And we went around and around, and I finally said to him, "Man, is there something wrong with you mentally? You can't think in terms of assets, only indebtedness?" We need to start thinking about money as an asset, not as a loan, not as something we have to pay back. It's something that we create when we create new wealth. Money should be created also to go right along with it. And that's what we've got to wrap our mind around. And finally, Governor Pliny wasn't governor at that time. He said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you can come in here to me and tell me things that make so much sense to me that I've never heard before. And that's the problem we have right now, is because we haven't heard these things before. Nobody sat down and done the homework and the hours of study, which I have done over many, many years, to really comprehend what's going on and why we get such indebtedness when we all produce wealth. And that's what you've got to really wrap your head around. This money will be created as an asset to the people, and the bank will get a benefit, a big benefit, because right now, with just 2% of the loans not being able to be serviced, the interest, you're seeing banks collapse. This will ensure and give them a way to get the money to pay the interest without having to foreclose and wipe somebody else out. And that's what has to happen now. I've had personal conversation with bankers. And I said, out of every 10 loans you make, doesn't at least one of them fail? He says, oh, every time. It started out first, I said, well, where's the money created inside the system to pay the money, interest on the money you loan? He says, well, I don't know, but it's got to come from someplace because everybody's paying it. And I said, that's right. Now, let's think about where it comes from. Doesn't one person in 10 at least fail every time? He said, absolutely. And I said, now, you don't suppose that's where the bank gets the interest there? And he just got redder in the beat because that's the truth. The only way they can get the interest is somebody has to borrow the money. You got to get it. That means they can't pay back their loan. They fail. That money stays out in circulation. You get it and pay your interest. It's kind of like, I got to kill your kids before I can have kids. I mean, nobody would put up with that. And that's what we're trying to get around. And I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm sorry. May I speak a minute, Chairman?
Mr. Dale.
I really apologize because I understand that I'm sitting here with 25 years of my life poured into studying this subject. And I know you people have never heard this before in your life. And I know that it's impossible for you to conceive all that I can see because of the study behind it. And I understand that. And I just ask for your patience and kindness and hope you'll put some real thought into it.
Senator Gimsey, did you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I understand the notion of borrowing money to pay interest. If I were to borrow money or if I'm going to pay off a credit card debt, I pay it with my earnings. I don't go and borrow money to pay the interest. So could you clarify that just a bit as to this notion that you borrow money to pay interest?
Yes. Mr. And Dale. I will, Chairman and Senator, I'll get the hang of this yet. Yes. Because when you pay with greens, all you're paying is with some more debt. They, by law, are an obligation and a liability of the federal government and the Federal Reserve Bank that issued them. They are not an asset in any way, shape, or form, although we all treat them as one.
Treat what? I missed a word.
The federal, you were talking about the green money, right? The actual bills? Or just any money?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I may not hand over any money. I do it with the same way everybody else has transactions, but I do it with money that's on the account that I have earned.
That's right.
Dale.
Chairman, Senator, you are absolutely right. So now the question you have to ask, where did that money come from that you earned? Where did your boss get it, and where did whoever get it? Where did the state get it? Because, see, you have to get back to the thing and the thought that money does not exist in our system until somebody borrows it. Now, it may be somebody in New York that you actually captured the money from, but that money was still borrowed or it would not exist. And I know that's a real hard thing to wrap your mind around, but that is the actual fact. If that money wasn't created as somebody as a debt, it does not exist today in our system. So when you get it, all you do, and it may be the guy borrowed $100,000 to build a building in town, or a million maybe, and he spent it, the money moves around, and finally it got to who you work for, and they paid you. And yes, you earned every penny of it. But that money was still in circulation because somebody borrowed it. All this bill will do, and nothing else, it will change that process to where some money comes into circulation as a payment, not as a loan.
Any other questions from the committee? Now, Mr. Dale, if this works for transportation, would it work for the rest of our bonding bill?
It could work for everything. But you got to remember, you can abuse good things as well as bad things. And everything has to be looked at with a good critical eye to make sure you make the right decisions. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. Because it doesn't make any difference what you work with. Any tool can be used for good, or it can be used for something you didn't so good. And you're going to have to make them decisions as a body after you decide to go ahead and implement this bill.
Mr. Dale, can you describe to me a bad decision in this particular case? When you said we need to look at, make good decisions on it, what would be a bad decision?
I actually, you're the first time in 20 years I've been stumped by a question. Because I really can't think of any right off the top of my head. But I can tell you what I've had other people come up to me with questions. It says, if you won't do this, wouldn't you create rampant inflation? I mean, wouldn't you just have money rolling out of your ears every place? Well, that's not true. First place, inflation doesn't come from too much money. It comes from too much debt. But you got to remember that this has an automatic brake on it. Because if you don't do the production, you can't get the money. So if you start creating money willy-nilly to pay for something that you don't produce anything on, you've caused a really bad thing. But when you keep it to something that somebody has to work and earn to get that money into circulation, produce something that benefits everyone, then you can't abuse it. That's why we chose the roads and bridges first. Because that is the one thing that you have to have. You can have commerce without money. I can come in and barter and trade, but you cannot have commerce without transportation. If I can't get to you, we cannot move products. And that's why we limited to this, why we think it maybe should be limited to this, but I'm not proposing to try to tell you people what all to do in the future.
Well, with the size of debt that you've been describing here with your overheads or with your presentation, isn't that what we were already doing?
Now you got to remember, Chairman, I'm sorry. What you got to remember is that when we did it before as interest-bearing debt, the debt makes the interest makes the debt grow, but not the money supply. What that does is constant drive a bigger and bigger spread between labor and raw materials and the finished prices. Mm-hmm. And that's what you call price inflation. But what happens is the longer this goes, the bigger it gets until you really get problems. And that's why we shipped all our jobs overseas and why we want to bring in everybody we can to work, because we want to constantly, the big international businesses are trying to cut their labor costs because they don't want to have to raise that price so high. That's why they shipped all the jobs overseas. And that's a really unworkable system in the long run also, because if you cut my wages, I can't buy so much. Now, if I can't buy so much, and you're seeing it right now, the stores don't sell so much. If the stores don't sell so much, I may get my job cut out, not just my wages cut. And this is what's happened to us. That's why this debt's went up. If we would have actually created this money as an asset today, we wouldn't have hardly any debt. We'd have all the things we did, and we wouldn't everybody owe on their home more than it's worth. And we're just trying to correct it. I don't want to try to destroy the banking system or anybody else. I'm just trying to get some equilibrium into this whole thing so we don't have what I personally fear we're going to have.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, are there any limits on banks as to how much money they can create?
Mr. Dale.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, if we do this bill right, no. Because, again, talking with people, lots of them, If we take away the reserve rate, and this goes on the book as brand new creation of asset based upon the creation of production, the only thing would limit this is how much you could work. When you could no longer find the people to work or the raw materials to build the product, then this would all have to stop. And that should really be the only limit. There should be no limit on the amount of things that we can produce in our lives with our labor and the raw resource of the earth. It takes three things to produce anything. First, you have to have know-how. You have to apply some labor to some raw resources and build it. That's how this desk, everything we have, has been built. That's the way money should be created also. When you build production and create new wealth, the matching money to move that into circulation should be there.
So, Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
So, Mr. Chair, the investment needs to be made in tangible items rather than, say, human capital.
I think you have to have, pardon me. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
All we're doing is for the recording. So
I know. And Chairman, forgive me because I'm so used to these debates outside of the structure. Senator, yes, because if we keep those things together, first the knowledge, the labor, and the raw materials, and you really have to have all three or you can't actually produce anything. And that's what you have to fund. And when you fund it correctly, you will find that we won't be living in a nation that's going to get bury itself in debt pretty quick. We'll be living, once again, the greatest, wealthiest nation in the world, not the greatest indebted nation in the world.
Mr. Dale, the bank is taking the value of the asset into their, I guess I would probably say, you know, their financial statement. How do you report that when a bank puts together their financial statement, and then when those assets begin to depreciate, or let's say not depreciate because that's financial, deteriorate or become worth less and less? How does the bank describe that as their asset on their financial statements?
Mr. Chairman, it would be the same as any depreciation schedule, and you just have to work that up. And I'm not going to try to tell the Department of Commerce and the bankers how they want to work up their depreciation schedule. You could also, if you wanted to, you could also make a depreciation schedule where the bank could write off the taxes it pays to the Minnesota, because they really don't need them anymore and they're creating the money, so you don't really need to tax the state banking system. And as I understand it, they get taxed pretty heavy. So you could also work up a schedule for that. But I'm not going to try to tell the Department of Commerce and the bankers how to actually do their internal bookkeeping. I think they're very capable of doing that without my assistant. They want me to come, I'll obviously give my input. But because, see, it would be just like it is now. When you put the promissory note there, the promissory note stays there and the value stays there, but the debt's growing away from it all the time. Okay, but when you spend that money goes into circulation, and it moves around from hand to hand and gets subtracted from one account and added to the other account, but the promissory note value stays exactly the same because that's exactly what you have to pay back, except actually it grows because now the interest gets on it. So you have that problem. This, the asset would stay there, just stay there as an asset, as the money moved around through the banks and through the county from one person to another, and it would just stay there. It would stay on the books of the bank. Now, if the bridge and all these things start to deteriorate, now you could work out a depreciation schedule to take care of that. That would be absolutely no problem at all.
Asset but no liability?
Do we have another testifier here? Mr. David Skillbred.
Over, get up. Or?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is David Skillbred. I'm the Vice President of Government Relations for the Independent Community Bankers of Minnesota, an association of approximately 300 state and federal chartered banks throughout the state, all with a community focus and privately held. I'd like to, if I could, say that I agree with the testimony of Mr. Dale, with two things. Number one, I would support a proposal that he just referred to that would cut taxes for state banks so that they would be equal to the credit unions, number one. And number two, in all seriousness, though, I do agree with his concern about the debt load for the nation and the debt load for individual people. That giving said, though, I think that I have to respectfully disagree with the bill and the proposal and oppose it, and primarily on the basis of the premise. We do not have the ability to create money. If we did, I'd be asking for that on my mortgage account somehow. And that is really the heart of the bill, lines 1.18 and lines 2.5-6. We do gather deposits. We use those deposits to make loans. In some cases, we help facilitate government programs for worthy causes so that if we want to promote affordable and moderate housing, we will work with the Federal Home Loan Banks in order to find eligible applicants to that program and look at those individuals, confirm the eligibility, and then use the funding by the federal government that flows through that entity, like the Federal Home Loan Bank system or the Rural Finance Authority, and then give that money to those borrowers. But that's what we do. We are a very highly regulated system, examined every 18 months by state and or federal regulators. On line 2.4 to 2.6, I think the word auditors there is probably meant to be examiners. And I would respectfully disagree that the state has the authority to tell the FDIC, the federal examiners, what to do. So in essence, like I said, with all due respect, we oppose this bill and think that it's simply not workable.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Skilbred, so are you saying that a bank cannot loan out any more money than what they've taken in deposits?
What Mr. I'm Skilbred. Saying is that banks have a lot of limitations. One of them is lending limits. Not only do we have to have the money in order to provide the loan, number two, we can only lend so much money to certain individuals. That's a risk-based system that that provides a surety that when you come to withdraw a deposit from your account, there's going to be an account there. And those lending limits are based on the size of the bank and the size of the assets. So, for example, in the proposal that was just came through, the example of the funding mechanism project, there was a project costing $488 million. I don't think that there's probably one state bank in Minnesota that could provide that amount of funding for that project because of the fact that there's not enough assets to do that.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, my dad was a banker all of his career, and I never listened to him enough. Otherwise, I probably would have followed in his footsteps. But I did listen enough to know that I believe what Mr. Skilbred said is correct, that you know, you just can't create these assets out of air. And so I've expressed my concerns to Mr. Dale. And with that, I would move to table this bill.
Mr. Chairman, I know this bill is radical in concept and probably not understood in how it would work, but I thought, I appreciate having the committee listen to this. I think it's pretty interesting to hear that we have to have assets in order to give out the money, and yet we have $53 trillion in debt and only $6.8 trillion in assets backing that debt. And so even though that the concept of not having the asset is seems to be a different way of doing banking, this system, if we're authorized by the state, could potentially work. I'd love to be able to try it just to see what happened, because I think we'd all of a sudden have a pretty good transportation system without having to worry about the gas tax. And I know Mr. Dale has poured his heart and soul into this, and I understand that trying to get this implemented would be a very, very difficult thing. And so I appreciate the committee's time and effort.
Mr. Chairman, we have a motion here. It's not debatable, and we're giving you the courtesy of making your comments as the carrier of the bill.
If you would like to let Senator Olson say something, you can.
we can make a comment after the vote here. Okay. Senator Olson has made a motion to table the bill. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
The motion is adopted. Senator Olson has a comment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering your comment about the federal debt in relation to the money. Is there any connection at all to the fact that states have to operate with balanced budgets? We actually have to take in what we spend. Federal government doesn't. They just borrow money, and if they don't have enough, this sounds really good, and it would be wonderful if it would work. But whenever you get politicians that the well doesn't run dry, as we have out there, it doesn't seem to bother people at the federal level to spend money that they don't have. And look at what we have as a result of it. And I don't care what party label they have on it. And would we get drunk with the same kind of power if, in fact, we found that we could just order a creation? Or maybe why not create a shell bank and just create money with it?
Well, and Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomas, Senator Olson, I think it's the perfect example of what Mr. Dale is saying here, is that the federal government prints its own money, and it has very little accountability for how it spends it or where it goes. And it's, I don't know, you could make a case for whether it's working or not working, but obviously $53 trillion in debt doesn't appear to be working real good. But
Mr. Chairman, they don't seem to be losing any sleep over it.
And they don't seem to be losing any sleep over it. And ultimately what this bill would end up doing, I think, is it would actually create taxable wealth in the state. I mean, people would, if on the $488 million example, people would be getting paid, they'd be buying products, they'd be paying taxes, and then we'd actually have money coming back into the state as a result of the certificate that was issued to the bank. So,
But Mr. Chairman, based on there was no bank in the state that he knows of that would have the capacity to issue that.
I think the idea is that once the
Senator Thomas,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I think the idea is that once the state authorizes the bank to have that on its balance sheet, then they got the money.
Senator,
I don't know if that works or not, but
yeah.
Senator Jungbauer, final comments.
Mr. Chair and members, when you can't get your head around it, it's because of simple things that we've been taught over the years. But think of it even simpler. When the United States government went away from the gold standard, there's nothing backing up any of the dollar bills in your pocket. Mm-hmm. It's all simply funny money. So how that all works, I don't know. But there's got to be some other things, and we need to think about and entertain new ideas. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to get your mind around it. And maybe this isn't perfected because we don't really know how to handle it. But there's nothing backing up the dollars in our pockets, so it's all funny money.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, may I make one comment?
Sure. Mr. Dale, final comment, please.
There is something backing up this money, though. And you're going to see it every day when you drive down the road. And you're going to know it, and you know it's going to be sound. And I have only one question I'd like to address to the testifier. If the banks don't create the money, who does? Where does it come from? I can tell you from a long time in the ranching business, you can't raise money, you can't breed money, you can't plant money. I guarantee you there's only one way to get it, and you got to go borrow it. And I can tell you that from a long personal experience of how it worked, and I watched lots of farmers who produced all kinds of wealth in the 80s go out of business, And the only way they could get more money was go to the bank and borrow it. Now, they can say they don't, but I would like to have the person stand up and show me where in their checking account, which is the deposit he's talking about, where anybody ever put an entry in there that showed that they took some of that money out and loaned it to somebody else. Because if I got money in my checking account, and that they do, and they base some theory around that, no question, I agree with them 100%. But if I can take that money out and spend it at the same time that he's loaned it to Senator Tomasoni and he's spending it, don't tell me somebody didn't create some new money. And you just go home and go through your check accounts, and you just find and show me where they took some money out of your account to loan it to anybody else. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Dale.
I think my wife creates money.
Well, with that, our business is done for the day, and the committee is adjourned.
Thank you very much.